is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Monday evening. Joined tonight by my ginger brother, Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Will, happy Chase Burns Day, sir.
Tim, what's going on? We almost ready to turn the calendar here to July. A lot of NBA free agency, NHL free agency, some football moves, some baseball, little sampler platter here as we almost ready to turn the page to July here and say goodbye to June. It should be a fun show.
Yeah, it will be. A lot going on, and we will get to our game of the night here in just a moment. As I alluded to, should be a fun one at Fenway Park tonight. So good baseball night, some good pitchers on the hill, including Zach Wheeler already on the hill tonight for the Philadelphia Phillies as that game underway. Scoreless right now in Philadelphia as the Phillies take on the San Diego Padres. As Will alluded to, we've got NBA free agency news all over the place. The latest coming down as Dorian Finney-Smith on the move to the Houston Rockets. So another addition for the Houston Rockets, who are going for it. They are trying to, of course, after finishing second in the Western Conference, have now added a couple of key cogs to that Houston Rockets squad. None bigger than Kevin Durant, but a nice pickup there for Dorian Finney-Smith. So we will get to all of the NBA free agency news. Massive news in college football for a Power Four conference team who will now be without their projected starting quarterback for the season as he is expected to hit the transfer portal. Paul Stone will give us the latest on that. So before we move any further, we got a good guest list ahead. Paul Stone, bottom of the hour, Johnny Avello from behind the counter, David Behrman to give us the latest on the big move today between the Steelers and the Dolphins. So a whole lot to get to, but as mentioned, we got a tremendous pitching matchup in Boston tonight. So let's get to that big time game.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
You know, Will, I was talking to Mitch Moss just as we walked in and out here, and he goes, man, last week, you and Will together, you guys were hilarious watching Chase Burns. It was as entertaining as you get. And guess what, Will? A present to us. We get Chase Burns again tonight, facing off against the MLB leader in strikeouts, Garrett Crochet. So quite the pitching matchup tonight at Fenway Park.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. I thought last time out, you know, his performance didn't really match the final line where you look at it. It was like five innings, three runs. He was better than that. He was dominant early. They scratched a few runs off him, but I don't think that final line does him justice. So hopefully we'll be in for more theatrics as he struck out six of the first seven guys, I think it was, last time out. Six Ks through two innings, just absolutely electric stuff. Now it's on the road in Fenway against Crochet, who's, you know, about as good as anybody outside of maybe Scooble. So this, to me, has, you know, 1-0 after five, 2-1 after five. This should be a low-scoring game. I do like the first five under. I do also like Reds plus a half a run in the first five, and this should be hopefully a lot of fun here as Burns against Crochet. This is about as good as it gets in terms of a pitching matchup, and you know, Mizorowski, every time he comes out, he impresses. We'll see if Burns can keep up here in the Rookie of the Year race.
Well, you are in agreement with the market because it is moving in that direction now, pretty heavily juiced to the under at minus 130 at some shops, circa minus 135 for under minus 135 right now. I think I'm going to have to join you. Reds and Red Sox, a little first five under, you know, Will. Last time out, you told me to take a Yerfie in the Reds-Yankees game last week. Aaron Judge hit a homer. So in Will Hill, I trust. Let's go first five under.
Let's do it. Let's get it going. Should be, a couple minutes away here from first pitch. So Crochet will be on the mound first with the game in Fenway. Red Sox have not really hit. I'm sure those guys that they love, those young prospects, will be good players at some point, but it's just they're too young. They don't have the staple in the lineup with Devers, and they have really gone downhill since that Devers trade. What was it, 2 weeks? 2 weeks ago, was that Sunday night? I think 2 weeks ago, the day of the U.S. Open. So it's really been, they're going in the wrong direction. They had just gotten their head above water. They had just gotten above 500, and now they've ticked down, and they're going in the wrong way here. And you know, who knows what they'll be in terms of buyers or sellers at the deadline. They swore when they traded Devers that didn't mean they were going to be sellers, that you know, that we're still going for. This is just a temporary move. Well, when you're under 500 and you're, you know, heading towards July, chances are you're not going to be a buyer. So should be a lot of fun. Excited for this one. We got some other baseball. We got a bunch of moves to break down. So hopefully we can cash some bets here tonight.
All right, first five under. That's what we're riding with Team Ginger. And by Team Ginger, I mean Will Hill told me to do it, and I'm doing it because he's the baseball guy, and we got a hell of a pitching matchup. By the way, strikeout.
What'd you get, 3.5?
Four. Four is right now out there in the market. So we're going to ride with the four here. Juice to the under, minus 130 was the price that I just laid on the four under in the Reds and Red Sox game. When you look at the pitching strikeout props, Chase Burns, 5.5 juiced over. DraftKings, I believe I saw -$1.55. Garrett Crochet sitting at 8.5. Man, that is quite the strikeout prop. Because of his performance yesterday, I actually misspoke. I said that Crochet is your leader in strikeouts. No, that would be Skubal after he went out and struck out 13 last night. But Garrett Crochet should regain the crown here tonight. So what do you make of this strikeout prop?
I would go over, if anything, on Burns. I would go under anything on Crochet, just because 8.5, man, that's about as high a strikeout prop as you're going to see all season. I know the Reds have been really bad against lefties, but expecting to get to 9, I mean, he's obviously capable of it, but I just think that's inflated. So I'll lean towards the over on Burns. I'll lean towards the under on Crochet, but haven't played either one. Either one interest you?
I think over on Burns. I do wonder, from a market standpoint, how fast they will be to catch up to him right after his performance last out. So, you know, you're not going to see the market jump from, what was it? What was it last week? Was it 4.5, 3.5? I think it was 3.5. Was it 4.5 or 3.5?
4.5 juice towards the over in most spots, I think.
And then, you know, he goes out and he strikes out the first five batters. So you've seen an adjustment. I think Chase Burns would be the way to go. I was talking about this yesterday on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line regarding Skubal. And I didn't say you should play the under, but he had gone under, I believe, in 5 of his last 6 starts because those strikeout props are so, so high. So, yeah, right. I would have a hard time going under or over, 8.5 strikeouts against the Reds here tonight.
What are any other games here you're looking at that interest you? We got Phillies and Padres underway. Phillies threatening early. Yankees and Blue Jays about to start. Cardinals Pirates was supposed to start, but you got an early delay. Anything jumping off the page to you?
Well, I want to get your thoughts about to get underway, as you mentioned, in North of the Border. We've got Max Scherzer and the Toronto Blue Jays against the Yankees. This game's going to go off Yankees around -$1.32 here at Circa. Total sitting at 8.5. Just the third start of the season for Max Scherzer. I saw this note from Evan Abrams, Will. This is just the first time since 2021 that Max Scherzer is a home underdog. What do we make of that? Max Scherzer not looking himself all that much.
Yeah, well, most of Max Scherzer starts come against like the Toledo Mud Hens or the Hartford Yard Goats. I mean, he's basically making minor league rehab starts every time you look up. So it's hard to be a home underdog when you're in the minor leagues. The prices come down on the Yankees enough where I'd probably look to the Yankees. I don't know Scherzer this stage of his career, what you get out of him. He was okay in his first time out in a while against Cleveland last Wednesday, the night of the draft. Rodon's been a little shaky lately, although he was really good last time out against the Reds. So it would be Yankees or nothing for me. I don't love laying a price with them because they haven't played great here the last couple weeks, but scored a bunch of runs yesterday against the A's. Maybe you're starting to see signs that the offense is starting to come around. They've had a lot of guys slumping here the past few weeks, but it would be Yankees or nothing for me in this one.
All right, our game of the night about to get underway, Reds and Red Sox. Just to circle back to it real quickly, Will, your two bets for this game are what?
Reds +0.5 in the first five, and I did play the under first five. I gave it off this morning. It was 4.5 at DraftKings. It ticked down to 4, so we'll still call it the 4. If you got it at 4.5 this morning at DraftKings, that's obviously a good number, but taking the half run in the first five and then under in the first five.
You can lay a whole lot of juice if you want to lay the under 4.5. I just checked at DraftKings, -$175 to the under 4.5 in the first five there as Garrett Crochet steps on the hill to get ready for his start for the Boston Red Sox. So we will keep our eyes on that. The moves are flying in fast and furious. Here's a bit of a smaller move, as the big move came earlier today from the Memphis Grizzlies as they have inked Jaren Jackson to a massive extension. This is a nice little role player that they're bringing in. Ty Jerome, a three-year, $28 million deal to sign with the Memphis Grizzlies. But how about this? The Denver Nuggets are trading Michael Porter Jr. and an unprotected 2032 first-round pick to the Nets in exchange for Cam Johnson. So, wow, okay. That is a big, big move there. Michael Porter Jr. has been dealing with injuries, dealt with that shoulder injury, and the Brooklyn Nets are going to take on that salary. And in return, Cam Johnson, he is headed to the Denver Nuggets, 18.8 points per game last year. And now you've got a pretty dynamic player and three-point shooter. He shot 39% from three, 39.2%. And Nikola Jokic has got a pretty sharp shooter now to play with in Cam Johnson.
Yeah, and the Nets look at it like, hey, we can absorb the salary because we don't really have any good players on our team, and we'll take the pick. We'll just keep collecting salaries, collecting picks. And I think from the Denver standpoint, you know what? You had to change up the furniture in the room a little bit. Got a little stale. There's not much around Jokic. Murray's a good player, but he's a little hit or miss. So Cam Johnson's, I think, an upgrade over Porter. His shooting, his size. I mean, Porter gives you that stuff too. Porter's just too inconsistent. So I get Denver trying to mix it up here. Now, does this put them on a level where they're, you know, they can take down OKC, a team they played well and took it to a seventh game? Are they even better than the Rockets? That remains to be seen, but I understand going for it and trying to do something different here after things have gotten stale the last couple of years.
First pitch at Fenway Park, a strike from Garrett Crochet. We're underway in Boston. We got plenty of NBA moves to discuss. We're up and running. It's VSiN Primetime on this Monday evening.
VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, Will Hill, you're coaching youth baseball these days. What's your strikeout looking? You throw the hand up, ha, ha! So that's what just happened to Ellie De La Cruz. Garrett Crochet, two strikeouts in the top of the first. Good start for Crochet as he inches closer to regaining the lead in Major League Baseball in strikeouts, and he is now inching closer to the over 8.5 strikeouts. So both Will and I on the first five under in Boston, and Crochet out there strikes out two of the first three batters he faces, a perfect top of the first, and we head to the bottom of the first inning to see Chase Burns back out there on the hill after his dynamic opener against the New York Yankees. Right now, the Boston Red Sox minus 241, Reds plus 180, Will Hill.
Yeah, a quick 1-2-3 first. And if you played those under hits the first inning, which those could be fun sometimes, you get those aces on the mound, that one gets home. So a lot of good pitchers going tonight. You get Wheeler going for the Phillies. You get Crochet and Burns. Rodon's going. Webb's going later for the Giants. So this is one of the nights where some of the better pitchers in baseball here line up.
And don't forget, Trevor Rogers after his last performance. Now,
there you go, T-Raj.
Yeah.
That's right.
What was that, 8 scoreless? Best pitching performance of his career. All those Oriole fans.
And the same pitching matchup as last Monday night when we were together. It was Rogers versus Corbin Monday night, and then just a weird scheduling quirk. We have the same two teams a week later, same pitching matchup this time around, I believe, in Texas.
Yeah, pretty bizarre to see that unfold. All right. It is NBA free agency, and the big news just coming out moments ago, a trade for one of the Western Conference contenders, a champion just a couple years ago. The Denver Nuggets have shipped off Michael Porter Jr. and an unprotected first-round pick in 2032 to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange, for Cam Johnson. And as Bobby Marks points out on Twitter, Porter owed $40.8 million over the next 2 years. Cam Johnson, very much cheaper, 21.1 this year, 23.3 next year. Both will become an unrestricted free agent in 2027. And an unprotected first from Denver goes to the Brooklyn Nets. I love this trade for the Denver Nuggets. And to be honest, and you said it, I don't want to steal your thunder, I do kind of like it for the Brooklyn Nets as well.
Yeah, I mean, for the Nets, it's a no-brainer. You stockpile picks. You can absorb all the contracts you want because you don't have any good players. Your salary cap situation, you're one of the only teams with cap situation. So you can use your cap situation, your available space to your advantage to acquire assets and, you know, get off players, get off contracts or take contracts, I should say, from teams that don't want, you know, to pay Porter Jr., a guy who's inconsistent, who makes a lot of money, and you can give up a similar player in Cam Johnson and just stack the asset. And you know what? It's 2025 now. The Nuggets are a pretty good team, but 7 years from now, who the hell knows what's going to be going on, where Jokic is going to be, if he's going to be on that team, how great he's going to be, how long he wants to play. He'll be, you know, past his prime at that point. So that's a nice little chip to have in their back pocket. Curious, do you think it moves the number for Denver? Do you think it moves the needle for Denver just overall?
Let me double check, because I was talking to our friend Drew Dinsick over the weekend, and he liked the Denver Nuggets quite a bit.
Yeah.
When it came to their futures number, and I was looking at their conference odds over the weekend. It has not moved. It's still 9-1 out there for the Denver Nuggets. The Lakers actually have moved a little bit. I don't know if that was based off of just a bet, but over the weekend, the Lakers were 9-1 and the Nuggets were 9-1 to win the West. And that has now shifted a little bit. I don't know if Jake LaRavia going from Sacramento to LA changes things there for the Los Angeles Lakers. But looking at the Western Conference odds, Thunder +150, Houston at +450. And then title odds, Will Hill, OKC still the favorite. No surprise there. +225, Houston at +750. Denver sits at 15-1. So I do not think this moved at all. And yeah, I'm curious your thoughts on the Western Conference and this move for the Denver Nuggets to get Cam Johnson, who Michael Porter Jr. at his peak when he ultimately got that max deal. He is a pretty prolific shooter, but we've seen it over the last couple of years, the troubles that he's had staying healthy. He could be rather inconsistent. And now you get a guy in Cam Johnson who, you know, shoots around 40%, and he has done it pretty much his whole entire career. So does this, to you, Will, move the needle at all for the Nuggets?
No, I like it, but is this going to make me like go out and bet Nuggets futures where I otherwise wouldn't? No. I do think he's a little more consistent than Jokic. Plus, you have to factor in there's a Jokic bump. Anyone that plays with Jokic gets like 10-20% better. Sure. Look at Aaron Gordon. You're open more. He's going to find you. You can cut. He's going to find you. You're going to have more space to shoot. So I like it for them. This doesn't trigger a bet for me, but I like it for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. Yeah, so a big move here, and another move. Nugget fans, if you're – hold on to your seats. The reason you guys fell apart after winning the title was Bruce Brown left via free agency. He's back, baby. So now, wow. Will Hill, does this – oh, boy. That is
– oh, my goodness.
Not what we want to see as we're watching Reds and goodness. Red Sox, a tailor-made 4-6-3 double play ball, and a zoo throwing error at second. Not what you want when you've got the first five under. I don't know. I'm looking at it right now. Is this that's a tailor-made. That's terrible. Wow. That is a tailor-made double play ball, and now we've got men on the corners, no outs. That is as easy as it comes, and it just yips right out of his fingertips. And, I mean, if you can't throw a damn ball to Ellie De La Cruz at short, then you know you've got a bad throw. The dude's like 7 foot tall.
This will probably cost us at least one run, but let's hopefully not have a disaster here where this leads to a big inning. Hopefully, you know what? You get the one run, we'll just move on, and we can kind of be in decent shape going forward. Should be, it was probably, like you said, going to be a double play, and we're in decent shape to get out of the inning. If we can just hold it to one here, that's the type of play that can sabotage an entire bet, because instead of two out, nobody on, yep, you get first and third, nobody up, the three hitter up, and you're really liable here for a big inning. So just, those are the things you take the risk of when you play an under. Just one play like that can derail you, and hopefully that one doesn't derail us. That's a rough one.
Yeah, and especially, I imagine, let me double-check what the price was. Do you know what the Nerfy price was? Because I remember last Wednesday, the Nerfy on Brewers Pirates was as high as minus 200. I don't know if it was that high today, but imagine if you had the Nerfy in this one, because we do get a run. So Chase Burns,
hit too.
The phenom, And we've got men on first and second, no outs after a terrible play by McClain. I don't even know what he was doing. Matt McClain had all the time in the world to get the out at second base, and the ball just sailed on him, and Elly De La Cruz unable to grab it. So that was bad. And now on a, I believe, an 0-2 pitch, it's an RBI single there for the Boston Red Sox. So Abraham Toro gets the RBI single. The Yerfy is home in Red Sox and Reds, and that is a less than ideal start for the under bet for us.
Sure is. We are now one swing of the bat from already getting to the first five total here, and what should have been a pretty easy first inning here. But again, part of the cost of doing business when you do an under, you need perfect defense, you need good defense, and we certainly did not get that with that situation. So again, first and second, nobody out. If you can wiggle your way out of this with only the one run scoring, you're in decent shape, but not what you're looking for here when you got an under.
So, Will, bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Paul Stone. So in about 5 minutes, Paul Stone's going to jump on the program. Great college football and college basketball handicapper. You and Paul can chat about how you are a pair of Circa college basketball champions as we get now an RBI double off the green wall. Is that going to score two runs? Just going to score one? We might have the overhit in the first inning here, as it is 2-0 Boston Red Sox as they are teeing off on Chase Burns. Chase Burns, four batters, no strikeouts. The Yankees are saying, man, you guys are pretty impressive. He struck us out a whole lot.
Not a great start here. Yeah, he's in the middle of the plate. I'm trying to watch it at the corner of my eye here. He's been in the middle of the plate with some of these. The bad defense didn't help. He walked the leadoff guy. So rough start here for our first five. Hopefully we can rally, but not good. What's that, second and third now with nobody out? So yeah. We are up against it early on.
Whew, we are sweating here. But as mentioned, Paul Stone's going to come on. He's going to help us talk about Jake Retzlaff, who is going to be looking for a new job as he has left the BYU program after really a pretty ugly situation unfolded there, as there was an allegation. It has now been dropped, but he was facing a 7-game suspension at BYU for premarital sex. So he is now looking to transfer. And what does that mean for BYU moving forward, a team that was 11-2 a year ago, preseason fringe top 25 team with Jake Retzlaff? Now Retzlaff not a part of the program. So we'll get the latest on that. Talk some more college football with Paul Stone on the other side of the break. And while we're during this break, we'll be sweating out the Boston Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds. We did get an out, Will Hill. We did get one out. 2-0.
Good start.
Come on, Chase Burns. Get out of this inning.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, we were hoping, Will Hill, that when we went to break, Chase Burns would recapture that magic from his Major League debut. He did the opposite. He gave up a 3-run homer to Trevor Story, and, you know, at least we don't have to sweat it out. It's just over. It's dead. And congratulations on, I mean, tremendous CLV. I believe you said you got under 4.5 at -105. I saw at DraftKings it was -175. 70 cents of CLV. That's all that matters. Sure. It doesn't matter that you lost the bet. You got CLV, baby.
Sure. Got nice CLV on the Rookie of the Year ticket from Burns, and you can have that one too. You got to wonder here if he's tipping some pitches, because they're hitting the ball so hard off of him. And we watched him against the Yankees, and they couldn't put the ball in play the first couple of innings. So a rough start here for Mr. Burns, and one that, you know what, those are painless. At least it's the ones that are, you know, when you have the under in the first five that are scoreless after three or four, and then the fifth inning it unravels, those stick with you. This one, you just kind of move on and just get them next time. Brutal.
We move on and we talk to a great guest. Paul Stone, college football and college basketball handicapper, joins us right now courtesy of our Progressive guest line. I wanted to get Paul on because he knows the Big 12 better than anybody that I know. And with the news of Jake Retzlaff leaving the BYU program, Paul, I'm just curious on a multitude of fronts. You know, we've seen the market correct. It went from 7.5 wins to 6.5 wins. Different books have shifted their odds to win the Big 12. DraftKings went from, I think, 8-1 to 16-1. FanDuel went from 10-1 to 19-1. For you, Paul, from a pure power rating standpoint, how much did you downgrade BYU with Retzlaff leaving the program?
You know, first of all, Tim, I'm not as high on Jake Retzlaff as a lot of people are. I mean, he threw a lot of interceptions last year. You know, he played well, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I'm not as high on him. So I only lowered him 4.5 points. So I'm probably not as significant. I could see where some people might go 5 or 6 points lower, but, you know, their quarterback at this point stands to be either McKay Hillstead, who started 4 games a couple of years back at Utah State. Small guy, but he can run the football, true dual threat guy. You've also got Trayson Borgay, who started a total of 8 games over a couple of seasons at Western Michigan of the MAC. And then the wild card, true freshman Bear Bachmeyer. And Bachmeyer originally signed with Stanford, went to graduated high school early, went to spring training with Stanford. But when Troy Taylor got fired, amid all that turmoil there in Palo Alto, he went back into the transfer portal. He is now at BYU, and he'll be thrust into this quarterback competition. But I don't think the drop-off is going to be – it's certainly going to be significant, but I don't think it's going to be quite as significant as maybe some people are thinking.
Paul, I'm sure a lot of people listen and say, hey, I want to start prepping for college football, but I don't know where to start, so much with the transfer portal, these kids switching teams. What's your process like? Where do you start? What is your process in terms of getting ready here to handicap a college football season?
I'm not just blowing smoke, Will, but I work on it year round, pretty much every day of the year. And, you know, you can do it at all different levels, but the transfer portal has made handicapping college football such just a, you know, a day in and day out endeavor, just keeping up. To me, it's all about the Jimmys and Joes. You know, it's all about the roster and talent acquisition. And you've just got so much movement with the two portal windows. And, you know, at this point, I would probably, you know, look at the teams, you know, quarterback, look at their continuity and their coaching staff. You know, if they have both coordinators coming back, head coach, that type of thing, if you're getting started at this point. And ultimately, you're trying to figure out, is the offense better? And if they are, or worse, how many points better or worse are they on average per game against a like schedule? Then the same for the defense, and maybe use Jeff Sagrin's end of season power ratings at the end of last season and just adjust it accordingly based on your net effect that you see coming offensively and defensively.
Paul Stone joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line, college football and college basketball handicapper, as we get closer and closer to the start of the college football season. We're less than 8 weeks away from week 0. Paul, when you look at the Big 12 and, you know, this big move of Jake Retzlaff being out, you know, this is a conference that we saw a year ago. Arizona State picked 16th out of 16 teams win the conference. For you, when you looked at your numbers, was there a team or teams that you felt like was either undervalued or overvalued based off of the market?
You know, I think the Big 12, first of all, Tim's a lot like it was last year. And I think last year we had 4 teams tie for first place with 2 losses and 3 other teams 1 game back with 3 losses. So we had 7 teams last year in the Big 12 within 1 game of one another at the end of the regular season. I don't think we're going to have that this year. That's improbable, but it's still, man, it is a balanced league. There's not really a great team that stands out to me, but there's a lot of really good teams. You know, they've got their blemishes and their warts, but they also have their beauty marks. And a couple of teams that I kind of looked at and have been looking at are kind of the mid-level teams, and they're both in the state of Texas. But looking there at Circa, I believe earlier today, Baylor was 7-1 to win the Big 12, TCU 14-1. Those might be 2, you know, mid-shots to take a look at. Baylor's got a lot of people back on offense. They've got their quarterback, Sawyer Robertson. I think they'll be better on defense. Really played, well at the end of the year. They won their last six regular season games, lost in the bowl to LSU, but essentially winning those six regular season games to close the regular season, they saved Dave Aranda's job, and they averaged in those six games 39.9 points per game, almost 40 points a game. So that shows you how prolific that Baylor offense is. And then you have TCU, you know, with a third-year starting quarterback in Josh Hoover. They've got a lot of pieces back. Really like Dykes as a head coach. So I think TCU is another team that could be one to watch a little bit further in the back in the pack there at 14-1 at Circa.
Switching gears from the Big 12, I just want to pick your brain here on North Carolina. Such a fascinating study with Belichick, everything with this experiment. How do you handicap the Belichick aspect of it, the coaching, anything off the field, and the kind of talent that Belichick's brought in, a team that a lot of people are going to be paying attention to August when they play TCU?
I tell you, and I might be missing something, but when Bill Belichick elected to take this job at the University of North Carolina, I really thought we were going to see a big-time NIL commitment, maybe from a single donor or a group of donors or whatever the case might be. And we just haven't seen that. I mean, you look at the talent on this roster, this North Carolina roster, they obviously lost Hampton, the running back who provided a lot of their offense in the first round of the NFL draft. And then as far as the portal, they were net losers in the portal. Some people have them in the transfer portal rankings in the top 10. To me, that's hogwash. You look at what went out the door and what's coming in, and they lost a lot of people from defense. They're better players. They're not as good as they were last year, you know. And then with the distraction of Bill Belichick and his young sidekick there, it just seems to be a recipe for disaster. But sports throws us curveballs all the time. You never know. I recommended a couple of months back on another VSIN show to take TCU plus 2.5 over North Carolina in this Labor Day night season opener, Bill Belichick's debut there. And I think now North Carolina's favored by 2.5 and even by 3 at some stores. So we've seen a reversal and a turnaround of about 5 points of movement on the line there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that TCU team is pretty impressive. Paul, by the way, was on the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast with me a couple weeks ago, giving out some winners and hopefully winners there. Hey, Paul, before we let you run, week one, we'll be here before we know it. You mentioned TCU, UNC. Anything that jumped out to you in week one worth a bet right now?
Well, I'll tell you a game that stands out to me. You know, we've got a lot of great games. First of all, week one, man, you got Texas at Ohio State. You got LSU going to Clemson. Notre Dame, of course, going to Miami there on that Sunday night. But a Friday night game that's maybe a little bit under the radar, going to be played on Friday, August 29th, on the banks of the Brazos River there in Waco, Texas. The Auburn Tigers coming to Waco to play Baylor. Auburn currently about a 2.5-point favorite, maybe 1.5 at some stores. But I really like this Baylor team, as I said earlier. Sawyer Robertson, who originally signed with Mississippi State out of high school, really had a great year last year. Baylor quietly, again, had a nice season, closing with the six regular season wins. They got a 1,000-yard back coming back in Bryson Robert Washington. Their top receiver and return man, Josh Cameron's back. Four starting offensive linemen back. That offense is going to be really good again. I think they're going to beat Baylor there. Beat Auburn on their home field there in Waco. Actually made Baylor a 2.5-point favorite. So I think getting 2.5 with Baylor is a bonus. I like the Bears plus the points over the Tigers.
Yeah, that's going to be one of many great ones of week number one. Can't wait for it, Paul. Always appreciate your insights, sir.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Y'all have a great week.
There he is, the great Paul Stone. Thanks, Paul. At Paul Stone Sports. Hey, folks, just a reminder, the NFL season, it's also inching closer, and our guide comes out tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe and be part of that VSIN Super Bowl and football special for $175.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The old betting question, Will Hill. Would you rather lose a bet instantaneously or would you rather it be a bad beat? Would you rather have hope and have it snatched away from you? Or would you rather just have a terrible bet and say, eh, such is life? What? Because as we look up right now,
yeah,
the Cincinnati Reds trail the Boston Red Sox 7-0. Chase Burns did not get out of the first inning, ladies and gentlemen. Think about the contrast of Major League debut, strikes out the first five New York Yankees that he faces. And here tonight at Fenway Park, he exits after getting out and zero strikeouts.
Yeah, and you never know if they turn that double play. It's two out, nobody on. Maybe he settles in and pitches a decent game, but I'd much rather have just the instant loss. You move on. You know what? Easy loser. You don't. It's less agony. You've been through this a lot. What do you prefer?
I think being in this space, I almost prefer the bad beats because I feel less dumb. But when you give out a play and it's just so epically terrible, you're like, well, I guess that one. I think I gave out on this show, God, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago? I gave out Purdue, I think I want to say minus like 16 against St. Peter's.
Maybe it was
Fairly Dickinson. Maybe it was Fairly Dickinson that I gave it out. Because did St. Peter's beat Purdue as well? I can't remember.
They did.
Yeah, they beat.
Yep, that was a Friday night game.
Yeah.
That got them the Elite Eight.
That's right.
Ivy played a horrible game that night.
Yeah, so, yeah. I think as a normal bettor, if I wasn't on this network, I think I would much rather preferred what we saw tonight than a bad beat. But if that makes sense, I'd almost rather give out a bad beat and be like, well, at least it was a bad beat. You can always tweet us. I'm at one Tim Murray, and he's at not the Will Hill. Our guy Scott C goes, I'm sharing the pain with my ginger brothers. I thought this was going to be a duel through five. Your guys are at least getting some great insights from Paul Stone about his rankings. It makes up for this game being such a dud. That is true. It is always great to catch up with Paul Stone. Maybe we'll get a good pitching matchup here in Toronto because it is scoreless through the bottom of the third. How about that run? And I know you know the Yankees as well as anybody. 16 straight games to the under prior to yesterday's offensive explosion. And maybe we're going back to it here for this one as it is scoreless through two innings and we're in the bottom of the third.
Yeah, and I know there was some controversy about that streak, and like one of them may have been a push depending on when and where you bet it. And sometimes this stuff's not as always easy as win or lose. It's, you know, when and where you bet it. That being said, I don't think the 16 in a row got enough attention. Usually a streak like that, first off, doesn't happen because you just have a way. I mean, that's over two and a half weeks of all unders. And if once it becomes public, once it 5, 6, 7, you just hear about it, you know, every night you would think. So 16 in a row, it went pretty under-publicized. I don't know. Wouldn't you agree it was – it kind of flew under the radar. I barely heard about it, and you know, here and there, until I realized it got to 16. But I thought it didn't get enough attention, or at least as much attention as I was expecting it to get.
Yeah, certainly when you think about, you know, NBA trends, definitely NFL trends, you hear about it all the time. You know, your neighbor will come out of his front door and be like, hey, did you hear about this under trend? But yeah, maybe because it's baseball, it's happening every night. But it was pointed out by Evan Abrams that was the first time, I believe, since 2016 that we've had a run either all overs or all unders by one team. So it's been almost a decade we've had of baseball being played every single night. And to see 16 straight games, even if it's, 15-0-1, regardless, I mean, that trend was wild. And of course, me being the stubborn person that I am, once I heard about it at like 9 or 10 games, Will, I immediately was like, well, I'm not going to follow it. It's definitely, there's no way this is going to continue. And sure enough, it continued for another 6 or 7 games until it went kersplat yesterday for the Yankees against the Angels. But we'll see if it happens again here tonight. Men on first and second, one out. Carlos Rodon on the hill against the Toronto Blue Jays in the bottom of the third inning. Max Scherzer, he's been giving up some contact, but nothing too crazy. But a very solid start for Max Scherzer. 3 innings so far, Will, no hits and 4 strikeouts. His over-under was 5.5 strikeouts. We have not seen Max Scherzer a whole bunch this year, right? This is only his third start of the year. Started back in March, got hurt, and he's had one start since, and that was just last week, and he had, I believe, four strikeouts in that one. So very strong performance so far from Max Scherzer.
Yeah, and you don't expect the peak Max Scherzer of even, you know, 3-4 years ago. He's getting up around 40 now, but you know, he doesn't give you the length, doesn't give you the dominance, but he can still give you a decent 5 or 6 innings when he's on the mound and healthy, which has been far and few between, really dating back to his time with the Mets, where, you know, second half of the season he got hurt with Texas. He's had a really hard time staying on the mound, which you'd expect from a guy of that age, but when he's on the mound, he's decent. And at least through 3 innings now, he's pitching a decent game here against the Yankee team that has really struggled to swing the bats for the most part the last couple of weeks. Started to show some signs of getting out of it against the A's. They've had their moments here or there, but overall, the last two and a half weeks, the Yankees have struggled to swing the bats. They're struggling again here as still scoreless here in the third, and then Philly up 3-0 on San Diego, and then of course our disaster of a bet with Boston and Cincy at 7-0.
At this point, Garrett Crochet to go out and throw like a no hitter tonight, which he does have going 2 innings right now. He's got 4 strikeouts. Does Garrett Crochet? So I believe he has regained the lead for most strikeouts in the major leagues after Scooble's 13 strikeout performance yesterday. We'll keep updating you folks on all of the NBA moves. Brooks Lopez on the move. He is signed with the Los Angeles Clippers. He's not Clippers. Going to the Lakers. Right. They're going to the Clippers. A 2-year, $18 million deal for Brooke Lopez. So he departs after a long stay in Milwaukee that led to a championship. Really, when you look back at that championship team in Milwaukee, I believe the only two left, or actually 3 left. It's Giannis, Bobby Portis, and of course, Pat Connaughton still on that roster. So as we get told every single day from Shams Charania, you know, Giannis is keeping a very close eye on all the moves that the Bucks are making. I don't know if this is a big loss. Brooke Lopez, maybe lost a little bit of a step. You knew he was going to have a bit of a market, a 2-year, $18 million deal. He heads to the Los Angeles Clippers. Caris LeVert going to the Detroit Pistons. So we knew with the story coming out regarding Malik Beasley that Beasley is more than likely not going to be a Detroit Piston with the gambling situation there that unearthed on Sunday. So they go out and they get Caris LeVert. So a 2-year, $29 million deal for the Pistons to get Caris LeVert. And the Rockets have signed another piece here. They've gone out and they've gotten Clint Capella. So they're bringing back Clint Capella, a 3-year deal for $21.5 million for the Houston Rockets to get Clint Capella.
Yeah, not the typical July 1st bombshells that you get. I mean, usually during free agency, you know, I just think back to 2018, it was LeBron. 2019, you had the Kawhi and the Anthony Davis trade. It's not that. Usually you get 1 or 2 guys that are blockbuster free agents. This is a lot of spare parts. I thought Finney Smith going to the Rockets was big. First of all, it's a big loss for the Lakers because they can't really replace him. 3-and-D guy, familiar with Luka. It's just the Lakers don't have the flexibility to replace a guy like that. And I think that's a guy that can fill a role and play a role on a winning team. So I really like what Houston's done. I think most people do. They've really, you know, amplified the roster. We don't have to play Durant a lot during the regular season. They go 10, 11 deep. They're going to be a really good team. I don't know if you put them on the same level as OKC. You probably don't. But they're probably a pretty consensus 1B in the West with everything they've done. And I mentioned the Lakers. They did lose Finney Smith. As a college guy, I liked their draft in terms of getting Thero, the kid from Arkansas, big. He can leap. He can catch the alley-oops from Luka. That's an element they didn't have in their offense. But, you know, we saw the Nuggets trade with the Nets earlier. That was an interesting move. But, again, a lot of this is spare parts. I don't know if anything that's happening right now or is going to happen, barring something, you know, bombshell here, is enough to, like, trigger a bet one way or another. Unless you're talking about, you know, maybe over-unders, which aren't open yet, I don't believe, in most places or in any places. I don't know that like the title landscape has changed other than Houston clearly moving up a couple of rungs.
Yeah, and I would say to your point, nothing has necessarily changed, even though I do think Denver made themselves better today getting Cam Johnson. And I think to your point, I think the Lakers got a little worse. They did get Jake LaRavia. We'll see if they ultimately pull the trigger on someone like DeAndre Ayton or something like that to get a little more rim protection. But it was thought maybe it would be Brooke Lopez. That is not going to happen. Would be Clint Capella. That is not going to happen. So we'll see ultimately what the Lakers opt to do here. But the big move of the night, no doubt, has been Cam Johnson being traded from the Brooklyn Nets for Michael Porter Jr., an unprotected 2032 pick. We'll see if that affected the market at all when we check in with Johnny Avello, top of the hour. But hey, folks, if you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Firstbet.com.